talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and boy, is it being made right now. It's being made just as I came on the air. Just as I came on the air, Kevin McCarthy is about to lose his ninth ballot. Ninth ballot. They went through 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 today. Right now, when I came on the air, there were 10 votes for somebody in the Republican side other than Kevin McCarthy. Remember, they have 222 votes, 222 Republicans in their caucus. He needs 218. He can only lose 4. If he goes from 222 to 218, he can still be Speaker. Unfortunately, he just lost 10, and they're only halfway through. The guy is toast, totally toast. Let me give you some of the background, what happened today, and then where I think this thing is going. It had been everybody for this fellow Donalds, all of the insurrectionists, and I'll call them that in two respects. One is they all supported the insurrection. Number two, they're all insurgents against the Republican establishment. 20 of them. There's a 21st, a woman named Sparks from Indiana. She's born in Ukraine, very interesting person. And she is simply voting present, which reduces the threshold of votes McCarthy needs, possibly to 217, except that she was a McCarthy vote. You don't like to see your threshold go down when your votes also go down. That's dumb. But 20 of them were hardcore, and they're against McCarthy. And I want to analyze that and then tell you where this thing is going. So McCarthy, for the last several ballots, has been getting 201 votes. Hakeem Jeffries is getting 212. And the insurgents have been getting 20, with one present voting abstention, basically this Sparks person. Well, they have ginned it up a little bit. Lauren Boebert, a few ballots ago, started to vote for a guy named Kevin Hurd. She thinks this is funny. Oh, I'll vote for Kevin. Kevin Hurd. Oh, I get it. Kevin Hurd, a guy from Oklahoma. I never heard of the guy before, quite frankly. I'm gonna look him up, but he got a vote. He went down, McCarthy went down in flames on the eighth ballot. He's been going down in flames all day. So today, they just go to the ninth ballot. And this time, right out of the blue, Lauren Boebert gets up and actually nominates Kevin Hurd. She had not nominated him, just pulled it right out of her hat and voted for him last time. It's not required that you nominate somebody to vote for him. Two ballots ago, there were only 19 people voting for Donalds, because guess what? Matt Gaetz voted for Donald Trump, believe it or not. You do not have to be in Congress to be the Speaker. The Constitution does not require it. I think that Gaetz did that to suck up to Trump, because Trump had called them all saying, vote for McCarthy, and Gaetz didn't want to be on the wrong side of Trump, so he votes for him for Speaker. Pretty lame, pretty stupid. Now, on the ninth ballot, Lauren Boebert nominated Kevin Hurd, and she voted for him. I assume he voted for himself. There are now 7 votes for Donalds and 3 for, quote, others. I assume at least 2 of those are for this Kevin Hurd of Oklahoma. 1 may be for Trump. They'll sort that out later. But, you know, McCarthy's already lost 10 votes on the ninth ballot, and he can only afford to lose 4. So do the math. All the Democrats are there. Nobody's going anywhere. This is pathetic. Right now, McCarthy will tie on this ballot the last time this happened, which is in 1923. There was a guy named Edward Gillette, of Massachusetts. It took 9 ballots to elect him. But the difference is, back then, the opponents were progressive Republicans. The insurgents were progressive Republicans, fighting Bob La Follette Republicans, who didn't want big corporations running things. And so they stuck a knife in this guy, Gillette, until he came correct with some respect. Well, this time around, the insurgents are the right-wing MAGA Trump types, election deniers. Now, they're all election deniers. I don't know if you knew this, but Kevin McCarthy voted himself not to certify Joe Biden. Kevin McCarthy, 143 Republicans out of something like 212 or 13 voted not to certify Joe Biden. They're all insurrectionists. I have no sympathy whatsoever for any of them. But now it's 9 ballots, and here's 9 ballots. This is Kevin McCarthy now and Edward Gillette in 1923, which is a pretty sorry company to be in. He has a ways to go if he wants to hit the record. Record was 1856. There was a guy back then named Nathaniel Banks, also, believe it or not, of Massachusetts. Nathaniel Banks took 133 ballots over 2 months. Now, when you're trying to go for 133 ballots, that's sort of like eating hot dogs against Joey Chestnut. You ever hear Joey Chestnut? He is a national, I'm not kidding, his name, that's actually his name. He's the national hot dog eating champion. He ate 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes with buns. How does he do this? How does he do this? He's like a seagull. They pry open his lips. They stick a sausage down his throat. The guy swallowed. I'm serious. You try eating 4 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Maybe you're Kevin McCarthy. You just ate 9 hot dogs in 10 minutes. How about 133? How about 133? You can't go up against Joey Chestnut. You cannot go up against Nathaniel Banks. And McCarthy's toast. I mean, let's be real about this. And as you know, this happened 15 times. Once 100 years ago. Once in 1856, and then 13 times before that in a relatively short period of time, because we had a lot of parties. Free Soilers, Nativists, we had all sorts of weirdos, Whigs, Federalists, this one and that one. But now we have two parties. And for this to happen now, 100 years after it happened with Edward Gillette, is frankly crazy, and it bodes very, very ill, very ill. Very, very ill for Kevin McCarthy. Going to the lines, see my friend Wisco Paul on the lines. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call, as always. I'm still on board with what Jeannie said yesterday. These people were elected by Republican voters and independents, so whoever. And now you're seeing played out in real time exactly what you put in power. They aren't going to get anything done in the next 2 years, probably try to impeach Biden, and who knows what. Plus, they're election deniers, anti-democracy, excuse me, people. So at this point, this can go on for another week for all I care. I know it's not a good thing, but this is what people get to see in real time. This is what they voted for. It's just, I don't know how to explain this. Other than, that's all I'm saying today, man. It's just unreal. And this is what you wanted, so you got it.
Not me, the Republicans, right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Bye.
Yeah, and you know, and Paul staunchly believes that there should be no compromise by the Democrats to throw a few votes. They're certainly not going to do it to Kevin McCarthy. I'll tell you a funny thing. Last night, if you were watching this, and I don't know why I watch it all the time, but I do just to keep up on this stuff. They wanted to adjourn, the Republicans. McCarthy had already lost 4 ballots, and it was 9:30 at night out there. And the Democrats decided, and I think it was a wise decision, we're not adjourning, we're staying here forever. You know, you can do that. They stayed up there all night. Back during the filibuster days in the 1960s and the civil rights filibusters, when you physically had to be there to filibuster, now it's a travesty. You just go, I filibuster in the Senate, and then 10 votes, and you can't do it. But back then, you had to get up and read the Bible, read Shakespeare, and then you'd fall, you know, you dropped dead of fatigue and hunger. and they'd stay there all night. Well, the Democrats want to do that this time. So a motion was brought to adjourn, and it lost. Because some of these insurgents wouldn't. McCarthy wanted to get a rest. Frankly, I think he wanted to go to a good restaurant. I mean, you know, it was 9:30 at night. I think he wanted some chow. He wanted some midnight rations. We used to call them midrats in the Navy. When you stood the midwatch, you got chowed down. And I was on a small ship, so I got bologna sandwiches and onion soup for 3 years. And to this day, it's hard for me to look at a bologna sandwich or an onion soup because they were my midrats. Well, McCarthy wants some midrats, and he didn't get them. Well, then what happened? The clerk made a mistake. You know, there's no speaker. This poor woman is there, and they're all yelling at her. So somebody said, well, I want to change my vote, or and she let him. And then the adjournment thing passed by 2 votes. So they adjourned at close to 10 o'clock last night, Washington time, close to 9 o'clock our time. Crazy. So then they come back. McCarthy tried to deal all night, meeting with people and all this kind of stuff. You know what he gave up? He said, okay, guys, it doesn't now. I'll agree that it only takes one person to bring a motion to throw out the chair. It used to take something like 50% of the Republican caucus. Then he came down to 5 votes, sucking up to him. Then he comes to 1. Then they say, okay, that's good. Now, how about this? How about you put a couple of us on the Rules Committee? The Rules Committee weakens the speaker and controls what bills go to the floor. So, for instance, if a bill came up to extend the national debt limit or send money to Ukraine, these characters could just block it. He said, okay, yeah, you can do that too. You can do that too. And then we want some subcommittee chairmanships. Okay, yeah. You know, this guy, he was begging. You know what he reminds me of? In a bullfight, you know, it's like the matadores and picadores are after the guy, and he has one horn, and he's sniffing and running around the ring and bellowing. That's all he's doing. And it reminds me, there's an opera, Carmen, by Bizet. Toreador, toreador. It's an excellent opera. It was Friedrich Nietzsche's favorite opera. He saw it many times. All right, enough of the multiculturalism. The point of the matter is that McCarthy's toast. He's just, he's toast. He isn't going anywhere. We're going to get back to this very shortly after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. The gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up with a few things on McCarthy's debacle out in Washington, D.C. One reason he's not going to make it is that there was 50 conservative bigwigs all called for changing the status quo, sent out a letter, a message, applauded the 20 congressional insurgents against McCarthy. Ed Meese, Reagan's attorney general. Ginny Thomas, Justice Thomas's wife. You know, let me stop there for a second. What the hell is she doing sticking her nose in politics? And he, Thomas, voted on one occasion to shield her emails, conflict of interest. But the fact is the Supreme Court has no code of ethics. Every other judge at every level has a code of ethics. So does the Congress. So does the president. Not the Supreme Court. That's got to change. We're going to the lines. Adrian of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Adrian?
Hey, man, now that the transcripts from the January 6th investigations are public, we have more evidence about Ron Johnson trying to advance the fake electors. He called this guy, Andrew Haight, the Republican Party chairman in Wisconsin, and tried to get him to throw in with the planned coup. And I think it's just unacceptable behavior from a U.S. senator. I think we need to impeach him.
That is a very good point, and I support it 100%. And let me tell you something else. I want to fill in what Adrian just said, and this should have come out more in the race with Mandela Barnes. It's not Mandela's fault. They just released these documents, but there's plenty of text, emails, but testimony by Hitt, H-I-T-T, the hitman, Hitt. He was the former chairman of the Republican Party. And He said that he had conversations with Ron Johnson, and Ron Johnson was pushing the fake electors, and Ron Johnson said to him, why don't we have the legislature pick the electors and ignore the election, the voters? And Hitt, who's a Republican, and who was a fake elector, he was one of the fake electors, said, well, I don't know. That would be kind of hard. I don't know if the legislature would go along with it. And then Ron Johnson said, yeah, well, you know, let's do it. Let's try. And the reason he had the Michigan state electors in his possession, and he had his chief of staff send them to Pence's chief of staff to try to get him to read them and then give an excuse for Trump to say, well, there's a dispute in the House, is because he would attack Michigan. Somebody else would attack Wisconsin. Nobody could say he attacked Wisconsin. This guy has no business representing Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. He has betrayed Wisconsin. He has said that he does not want our presidential election. He has said that the legislature, which is gerrymandered and not representative, should pick the electors, which would then pick Trump. That's what he said and did. Now, Adrian suggested we should impeach him. There's a different procedure for a U.S. senator than there is for, say, a judge. Now, for the governor, for instance, or a U.S. senator, you can try to start a recall election. But the fact of the matter is that trying to recall a U.S. senator, I remember that some of them tried to recall Herb Cole. Good luck. Herb was a friend of mine, very, very fine senator, great senator. But yes, it can be done. And I would like to see the same energy that was put in to recalling Scott Walker back after Act 10. I mean, quite frankly, this information that came out of the January 6th committee, which is the transcript of Hitt giving a deposition, and they kept it quiet. This is in black and white. We all knew that Ron Johnson had the Michigan fake electors, and he claimed he didn't know he had them, and it was his chief of staff. It was all baloney. And he just claimed ignorance and somehow got away with it, although Mandela came pretty close. They slimed Mandela. They darkened his skin in ads, and they kept putting pictures of him next to the guy who ran over the people, the murderer in the Waukesha parade, as if what? Because they're both African-American, somehow Mandela. You know, this is bad stuff. And this got us a Senator Johnson who betrayed our election. Go to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
Well, I just wanted to make a couple comments about the circus that's going on in the House. It sounds like the Freedom Caucus asked for one thing, so McCarthy said fine, and then they asked for another thing, and it keeps on escalating each time. It's very clear the Freedom Caucus has nothing whatsoever to do with freedom. They want to dictate their own terms, and they want to dictate to the whole House of Representatives what to do. I don't have a problem with there being no Speaker of the House at this point, at least. Obviously, at some point, we've got to do some rather important things like increase the debt ceiling, things like that. But the longer these guys stay out, and for all of me at least, the longer these guys stay out, the less damage they can do, and the less amount of money that they can waste on spurious investigations. They'll probably look at Hunter's laptop. They'll probably look at Hillary's emails, for crying out loud. I mean, these guys are just outrageous.
Yeah, Jack, that's a very good point. And let me build on that a little bit, because it's a very, very good point. But here's one of the downsides. And Mike Gallagher, he's a Republican from the 8th District up in Green Bay, came out and said it. He's sort of a moderate. He said, you know, I'm on the Intelligence Committee, and because I'm not a member of Congress, remember, there are no members of Congress now because they haven't been sworn in. Their terms expired. He said, I don't have a clearance. We can't get any confidential information. We can't meet on things that we have to do in our committee. And Congress is one branch of the three branches of government, and the House is one half of that. The Senate's the other half. They can't, it's true they can't do a lot of mischief, but they can't do anything. And as you say, the debt limit and a number of other things, that's why Nancy Pelosi was so smart, ramming through a lot of bills before she left. We're going to a break. Thanks for calling, Jack. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. I see you do not hang up. We're going to start in order. Cassandra Middleton, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Cassandra?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I have been watching the ninth ballot vote, and it is going down in flames as well. And, you know, there's just something that I really don't understand, the 20 insurgents, exactly what they are thinking, because many of them, they keep nominating Byron Donalds from Florida. Now, he is a fairly new member, and as I thought about it, you will need some experience and skills to assume a leadership or to be a competent leader and the Speaker of the House. Essentially, what these insurgents who keep nominating him, what they're expressing is that if this was an army, what you are essentially doing is appointing a private to in the position of a general. Mr. Donalds, I'm sure he's a fine man, but there is no way he is ready to assume that job. And that's all I have to say. And it's just unreal. I've listened to many of the Republican insurgents on the news, and they are just living in a parallel reality. They just do not want to get a solution. That's basically what it is.
Right. No.
That's all I have, Matt.
Yeah, that's terrific. And Cassandra, as I recall, I think you're one of a fellow veteran along with me. And so your analogy to the general is an excellent one. Here's the deal. They don't expect Byron Donalds will be the speaker. He's a stalking horse. They're doing it to get McCarthy. And once they get McCarthy out of there, they'll put somebody like Jim Jordan. Well, Jim Jordan, David Jolly, a former congressman, Republican, kind of moderate, said no way they're ever, the whole caucus is going to vote for Jim Jordan. He'll be a stalking horse, and they'll come up, they hope, with somebody that they don't trust Kevin McCarthy. They don't like Kevin McCarthy. And I'll get into that in a minute, but let me take Tom of McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, again, you elect clowns, you expect the circus. And I think this really gets it. I'm not quite sure how the Republicans are going to get themselves out of this, because even if they find a moderate, all of these concessions that are already on the table, the Freedom Caucus aren't going to take those down. They're going to keep it that way. So whoever is going to be Speaker of the House is going to be hobbled. And again, just recognizing that there's going to be complete gridlock on the Republican side within the House. And if the Republicans manage to find a more moderate that's palatable to the Democrats, then I can guarantee you that the Freedom Caucus, they're going to howl like crazy and primary the heck out of any Republican who goes along with this deal, because they're going to feel that this is a betrayal. You know, the people are asking, why are they doing this? The Trumpers, they love what the caucus is doing. This is exactly why they want them in the House, is obstructionism like this, because, you know, that whole drain the swamp. So this is exactly, they're going to keep doing this until they get somebody that is a Trumper, either a speaker, or they get all of the concessions that they want. And if they don't get it, then I feel for whoever's going to be the speaker on the Republican side, because we've already seen what they're going to do. Is it too early to start talking about the blue wave in 2024? because, man, this, if anything can show how incompetent Republicans are in governance, this is it.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Those are excellent comments, and I agree, and I want to build on something you just said. And that is, first of all, one of the subtexts is, why do I say that Kevin McCarthy is toast? Let me give you an example. There's a guy named Crenshaw. He's in Texas. He's for McCarthy, conservative type of guy. But he's a former Navy SEAL, and he's sort of violent in his terminology. And he attacked some of these insurgents with personal insults. There's a fellow named Good, G-O-O-D, who's one of these insurgents against McCarthy. And Crenshaw said, quote, he is a loser. He could never win an election without McCarthy. And then with Lauren Boebert, who is now for this fellow Kevin Hearn from Oklahoma, but had been for other people against McCarthy, he said, she's no good. She couldn't win an election. When you have personal invective like that, and they try to stay away from that at that level of government, how the heck do you think that Good and Boebert are ever going to vote for McCarthy? They never are. Then you have Matt Gaetz of Florida, who said, McCarthy, if you're going to drain the swamp, you don't hire the biggest alligator to do it. He called McCarthy an alligator. And then he goes, he writes a letter to the architect of the Capitol and accuses McCarthy of, quote, squatting, end quote, in the speaker's office, and he should be evicted. Now, look, McCarthy was dumb in my view. He moved his stuff in. The speaker's office is a big deal. Also has a ceremonial office, very big deal. But even if you think you're going to be speaker, it's sort of dumb to do it until you're elected speaker. But it's pretty embarrassing to have to move out. But if you have a guy in your own caucus and you're the minority leader, writing to the architect of the Capitol, who's the guy that's supposed to, you know, administer the space, he didn't architect it. This thing is 200 years old or more. But he's the guy that, you know, is in charge of the physical space, and say, this McCarthy is an alligator in the swamp. He is a squatter and should be evicted. Do you think he's ever going to vote for McCarthy? Under any circumstances, no, he's not. That's three people right there. There's another guy named Norman from South Carolina, and there's another guy from Montana. There's like five or six of them who will never vote for him, ever, 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 ever. And I think there's a lot more. So what's going to happen? You know, Tom McFarland said they'll be intransigent. That's true. Because anybody else who's moderate is not going to agree to, A, letting one person continuously bring a resolution to get rid of the speaker. Number two, put them on the rules committee so they determine what legislation goes on the floor. The third thing McCarthy gave up was he said, I won't interfere in any primaries, even if a nut job is running against an incumbent Republican. And the Club for Growth then said, okay, then we'll back you. But the head of the Club for Growth signed the letter the other day saying he liked the insurgents. These people are taunting McCarthy. They're toying with him. They are toying with him. So that is why I say he's never going to make it. And I think it is going to require some kind of an accommodation from the Democrats in return for two things. You know, picking a moderate speaker. But A, that they raise the debt limit, and B, that they don't abandon Ukraine and stop sending arms over there for them to stand up to the Ruskies, commie Ruskies. Go to the lines. A lot of people still on the lines. Don't hang up. Take you in order. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Well, he goes down nine times. He's halfway to the record. He might as well hang in there, right? But what a bunch of dysfunctional rubes. All of them. And proof that they're nothing about governing and all about settling grievances. I read something over the weekend that Kevin McCarthy told Nancy Pelosi when she said no to a few people that he wanted on the January 6th committee. Kevin McCarthy looked at Nancy Pelosi and said, when I'm speaker, you're going to pay for this. Well, now, is he really going to make her pay for it? They're all about settling grievances and grandstanding and looking like total idiots. They don't govern anything, and I totally agree with your caller. who said, bring on 2024, we're going to flush them all out of town.
Yeah, excellent remarks, Dick. Excellent as always. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. Jesus, if it ain't one thing, it's another. I can't believe it. They're chaos and obstructionism. And, you know, there's this really great group that had a rally today and not on our watch. And they were former, or they are vets, but they were all former military people in all areas of the military. And we were talking about, you know, what happened to our Capitol, you know, 2 years ago. And these same people are doing this obstructionism right now. In all honesty, they shouldn't even be there. You know, they assaulted our Capitol. It was people that helped, you know, with what happened on our Capitol. All of them should be locked up. They should not even be there. Ron Johnson should be kicked out of that Capitol and lock the doors and throw away the key and not let him back in. I mean, this is an assault on democracy. They've taken oath of office. You know, I'm just shocked with some of those people that were in the military that are in the Republican Party that are supporting this type of behavior. They took oath for life. It was just amazing. I hope people get a chance to just see it. It was, you know, it was on YouTube, and it was called Not On Our Watch, and it was former military, and they're working together. They're Courage for America, and there was a lot of different groups that were former military people. It just makes me so thankful for, you know, like you, Matt. You're fighting for our democracy every day, and all of us have to fight for our democracy.
Well, I appreciate that a lot, Gene. I do want to pick up. You just made a very profound comment on that YouTube thing, and I think you're referring Michael Fanone, who was a real hero. He was one of the police officers that defended the Capitol. They beat the hell out of him. They beat him up. He had a concussion, and they were going to trample him to death. He said, I have four daughters, and they spared him. And he's had permanent neurological injury. In any event, he and more than 1,000 law enforcement officers sent a letter to the Republicans, and especially to certain ones like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan, Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, Elise Stefanik, in other words, the leaders, and then also the really hardcore nuts. And they said that there is a culture now that they've engendered of violence in politics. And they cited not only the attacks against the police officers at the Capitol, and not just Michael Fanone, there were more than 100 police officers that had to take disability. They were beaten. They were beaten with poles, fists. They were kicked. They were dragged down the stairs with their heads bumping off it. I don't know why there weren't a lot more people with very 20 and 30 year sentences for doing that to a cop. But in any event, they cited there was an attack on an FBI office in Ohio. Remember that? A guy showed up with a gun because Trump and the Republicans said defund the FBI, they're traitors. They attacked FBI officers. They attacked, of course, a guy attacked Paul Pelosi, hit him on the head with a hammer. And some of our competitors hate radio. When they chuckled when they reported that, and they played the folk song, If I Had a Hammer, Right Hammer, and they laughed. That is going on in hate radio and hate television right now. And if you think it isn't, you're badly mistaken. There were death threats to Pelosi. There are death threats all the time to prominent Democrats. And there were death threats to Fanone, the police officer who's almost trampled to death, and he got death threats. These death threats have got to be prosecuted. They can trace these guys. You make a death threat or you mention it, you should go to jail for 5 years. The hell with you. And that message has got to get around. Now, here's the deal. What Gene just said, when you have people, more than 1,000 people in law enforcement, 1,000 around the country, headed up by Michael Fanone, sending those letters to these Republicans, at what time, what point do they get the message? Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan are sick. They're never going to get the message. But Kevin McCarthy is getting a real good message right now because he ain't going to be speaker. Now, Steve Scalise is lying in the weeds. You can hear him rattling the tall grass. His sneaky little eyes are down there. So he may end up being speaker, but he better keep his mouth shut. And we don't want any more violent talk. He was the object of violence. He was shot at a congressional softball game because a lot of this violent talk that the Republicans have been throwing around. Elise Stefanik, who knows what she believes? She was upstate New York. She's moderate. She had attacked Trump, then she loves Trump, and she has no convictions whatsoever. This is a sad party, and they cannot get their act together. And when they finally decide on a speaker, it's going to be a mess. We're going to go to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what. One thing that has been real clear in all this is Trump is losing his influence in the Republican Party. He made telephone calls to some of these insurgents. He went on a speakerphone, and not a single one of them went along with him. Not a single one of them voted for McCarthy, even though he claims he's now for McCarthy. And Lauren Boebert, who is one of his hardcore acolytes and disciples, called him out on the floor. She said, he called me, and I told him that he should call McCarthy and tell him to drop out. The other thing is, you know, Trump announced for president, but he hasn't done anything. His financial report was due, and you get a 45-day extension as of right, and he invoked that. That expires January 29th. You get one more extension. So that means what, middle of March, that kind of thing? He's not doing anything. He doesn't have a campaign manager, doesn't have a scheduler, doesn't have anything. This was a goof. What he did was, I'll do it, and I'll try to raise money off it. And I don't have to report anything for at least 3 months, maybe longer. He is not running. He's pretending to run. And he, frankly, has lost his influence in the Republican Party. Now, there's a strong sentiment, and I hear it, and I'm very sympathetic to it among many of the callers to this show, and many of people who are friends of mine who go, Matt, the Democrats should not cooperate at all in picking the speaker. Sit back and give Hakeem Jeffries 212 votes every time, and let these guys fall apart, because the 20 insurgents, as one of my callers said, they're still going to want the concession that says that one person can recall the bring a motion to recall the speaker. They're still going to want two seats on the Rules Committee to block any legislation they don't like to go out on the floor, even to be voted on. They are still going to want to require that the speaker and the party will not interfere in Republican primaries, even though nut jobs are running, all of this stuff. They're going to demand and want all of that. Now, if any speaker agrees to that, they're a eunuch. I mean, they can't do anything. It depends on what these characters want to do. It is possible, and I don't know that we're there right now, they may chicken out, and if a guy like Scalise comes across, they may say, okay, but I don't trust Scalise. He's bad news, really bad news. He's a guy, he's an election denier. I don't want him. So here are some proposals that have been made, one of them by Fred Upton, who's a former Republican congressman. He's one of the 10 who voted to impeach Trump, and he didn't run for re-election. He's from Michigan. He said he plans to offer the Democrats a deal, power sharing. They will give him all 212 votes. He'll scare up 6 votes from the Republicans, make him speaker. And here's what's going to happen. According to his proposal, Democrats would get equal numbers of seats on committees, sort of like what happened in the Senate when we were 50-50. That means that no subpoenas can issue without a majority. And there can't be any subpoenas for any investigations the Democrats don't want, number one. Number two, they won't weaponize the debt limit. So in other words, when it expires in September, or we start to reach it in September, the speaker's not going to permit any kind of monkey business where we got to cut Social Security and Medicare so that we don't shut down the government. And number three, the same, I would think, on things like defense spending aid to Ukraine. They're not going to let these right-wing Tucker Carlson-type nuts who hate Ukraine and love Russia betray our country. Pro-commie, pro-Russia, pro-Rusky. Now, he's going to propose that. I frankly don't think that's going anywhere in the near future. There's a Democratic congressman named Ro Khanna out in California, and he's in the Progressive Caucus. He's on the left, and he says he's going to propose something similar, but his requirements are they can't use the debt ceiling as a weapon, and they've got to cut a deal on subpoenas. Upton's thing is frankly better for the Democrats, because with equal numbers on committees, there wouldn't be subpoenas. And he said, and this is interesting, Ro Khanna, he's in the Progressive Caucus, Republican. I think he's of probably Indian descent. He said he would back Mike Gallagher, Wisconsin, up in Green Bay, or Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania. Now, both of them have reputations as being moderates. Gallagher is, you know, represents the Green Bay area, was unopposed last time. I think he may have a PhD. But the thing is, when there was a resolution to denounce QAnon, Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst voted against it, voted with QAnon, believe it or not. But Mike Gallagher abstained. He just voted present. And that concerns me. And I'll tell you why that concerns me, because he's a smart guy and he knows very well that QAnon is a nut job case. And he must think that up in his neck of the woods, that somehow that would hurt him to vote at all on it, because he's certainly not going to vote for him. I think he's misreading his district, and he'd have to explain that, quite frankly, if he thinks he's going to do anything beyond Congress. But anyway, this is what Ro Khanna said from the Progressive Caucus. I think my own view, if we sit around for a month and there's no speaker, if Congress can't vote on any appropriations or anything, even stuff we agree on, even stuff that is bipartisan, that does hurt us at some point. The Senate can't do it by itself. And Joe Biden can do a lot by executive order, but not everything. There has to come a time where the logjam is broken. And when these 20 nut jobs on the right who are blocking McCarthy and block anyone else who won't say basically make them collectively the speaker, at some point, something's got to give. So we'll see what happens. But I'm throwing that out just so you're fully informed what Fred Upton proposed and what Ro Khanna proposed as well. We're coming to the end of the show. It was a great show and really great callers. Really very, very good, very, very good suggestions. Very good suggestions. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time tomorrow. And, you know, since he just lost the ninth ballot, and now we're going to be going into the evening, and if he can't get a motion to adjourn, he's going to lose the 10th and the 11th. At some point, when does the guy stop beating his head against the wall and step back? And we won't know. We won't know anytime soon. Matt Flynn Direct, signing off for today. Like a complete unknown.